A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus was teaching the crowds. Some of those present told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." Then Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" The gardener replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord. The day after the earthquake struck in Haiti, my next-door neighbors told me that an American television evangelist, Pat Robertson, had said that the Haitian people had brought the disaster upon themselves. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe that anyone, especially a preacher, could be so irresponsible and so callous. My neighbors actually had to show me a video of him saying this before I could actually believe it. And as I was watching this video, my jaw just hit the floor. I was flabbergasted. And almost immediately, I thought about today's gospel message. And had this televangelist never read this passage? Well, thankfully, I don't think his attitude is held by the majority of people. We might wonder why, or why did this have to happen when something bad does happen, like a diagnosis of an illness or a tragedy, I don't think many of us blame the victim of the illness or of the tragedy. But that's exactly what happens in today's gospel. The members of the crowd come to Jesus with the latest newsflash. "Did you hear? Some Galileans were slaughtered by Pontius Pilate as they were trying to make their own sin offerings." No doubt Jesus could read their subtext. Were these men so sinful that God wouldn't accept their offerings for sin, but their own lives were required to pay for their sins? But Jesus moves past this moral-type argument and reminds the crowd of a recent tragedy, the collapse of a tower. And Jesus is quick to tell the crowd that these people of both incidents did not die because of their own personal sinfulness. Jesus is quick to dismiss this idea, this way of thinking, as false. But he doesn't go into a long theological discourse of why bad things happen to good people. Maybe we wish he had, but Jesus doesn't. He doesn't go into a theological discourse because there's something more important at hand. Repent. Repent now. Don't wait. Don't assume you have endless days. Jesus uses the events of his day to speak to the crowd as well as to us today. He says, "Seize life's opportunities. Turn back to God and receive God's overflowing love and mercy, and life will be sweeter, more satisfying, and more fruitful than ever before." And we're not expected to do this on our own. God's mercy and love are the soil and fertilizer of our souls that enable us to bear fruit. We do not journey alone. The God that spoke from the burning bush, the great I Am who accompanied Moses on his journey to Egypt, where Moses would bring the fruit of freedom to the people of Israel. You and I, my brothers and sisters, you and I also do not journey alone. The God who summoned Moses to the burning bush summons, sends, and also accompanies us, if only we will hear. The poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote, "Earth crammed with heaven, and every bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit around and pluck blackberries." You and I are not called to sit around and pluck blackberries, but to see God's presence continually all around us. In Psalm 90, we read, "Teach us to number our days aright. We are given 70 years, 80 if we're strong." But we also know that very often we are not given 70 or 80 years. God calls us today to make the most of every day we're given, to live life like it is golden. A dear person in an African-American parish where I preach died recently from cancer at the age of 49. On the back of her memorial picture pamphlet is this lovely picture of Karen with the quote, "Living my life like it's golden." She lived life, and she loved her life, her family, her parish, and she made the most of every opportunity, even when she was ill. She came to church, and as the pastor quoted Karen, she came to church and she got her Jesus on. And she did, by singing in the choir, serving on the governing board of the church in a variety of capacities, and by living her life with gusto. She allowed the garden of her life to be tended by her dear friend, Jesus. Karen really made the most of every opportunity. She lived life like it's golden. Her life in this motto seems to mirror today's gospel message. Like my friend Karen, we too are called to live life like it's golden. Not to sit around plucking blackberries, but to turn and see the sacred ablaze in our own lives. On Ash Wednesday, we heard Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, where he states, "Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation." There's an urgency about today's gospel and the parable of the fig tree. Now. Time to act is now. There's this lovely hymn by the composer Marty Haugen called "Return to God." Perhaps you know it. Well, sing with me, or sing in your heart with me. Return to God with all your heart, the source of grace and mercy. Come seek the tender faithfulness of God. Return to God with all your heart, the source of grace and mercy. Come seek the tender faithfulness of God. Now the time of grace has come, the day of salvation. Come and learn now the way of our God. Return to God with all your heart, the source of grace and mercy. Come seek the tender faithfulness of God. The God who gives the name, I am who I am, is the source of all, the source of our grace, mercy, the heavenly gardener who will care for us during our barren seasons, so that we will flower and fruit if only we return to God. And if we do so, truly, truly our lives will be golden.